Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Where are we?
We are in Luxembourg, in a town called Brittle. Yeah, this is my house in Luxembourg.
And who are you?
I am Bob Jungels. I'm a professional rider with De Koenig Quickstep.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's the plan today, Bob? Where are we going to ride? Hopefully some of your favorite home roads.
I will try to show you a bit more of the northern part of Luxembourg. And it's not going to be a super long ride, but one of my favorite roads. It's a Sunday, so it should be quiet, and hope you enjoy it.
I will enjoy it, especially as I forgot my pedals. So you've lent me some pedals and lent me some shoes, which I'm really grateful for because I've been looking forward to this ride for ages. So let's head off.
Sure, let's go.
Nice, it's super quiet here.
Yeah.
Or is that just true of Luxembourg all over?
I think if you go more south, it's a bit more busy.
Yeah.
But for the rest, if you don't stay in the cities, it's okay. I mean, cities, there's only one real city, but...
And it feels like a town to me compared to London, where I've just come from.
Yeah.
So how often are you back in Switzerland?
Most of the time, I mean... Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I enjoy some time here in Luxembourg as well, of course, with the family, and especially these periods where I'm away really for a long time, and 3-4 weeks in a row.
Yes.
Just enjoy to come a couple of days back to Luxembourg, see the family before completely being in exile in Sierra Nevada or going to the Giro. And no, I'm a very social person, I would say, and I need this to clear my head as well, so
to recharge the batteries.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we should explain for people listening that this is a bit of a moment in time here. You've just finished the classic season. You had a good season, especially the team had a good season.
Yes.
You've done a training camp in the Sierra Nevada in Spain.
All right.
And now we are, well, less than 2 weeks from the start of the Giro d'Italia in Bologna. So what's this kind of period like for you? Is it just sort of more relaxing than training, or is it tapering, or what do you do in these kind of couple of weeks?
Mostly recover, some small intervals to keep the engine going, but for the rest, I guess it's most of the time just keep the legs spinning, but nothing is changing your form much anymore. So,
and now you've been a pro for 7 years.
Yeah.
Does it just feel sort of automatic to do this kind of stuff? Is it just your routine, or do you have to think about it still?
I think after several years, you just get a feeling for your body, and you know what you need and what period of the year. And had a bit of motor pacing yesterday to get some speed into the legs again. Today's a pretty easy ride.
Good.
Yeah.
I've seen what you're capable of. I was a bit nervous about that.
No. It's a beautiful day too.
It is. It's super quiet here in northern Luxembourg.
Yeah.
Sort of rolling hills. Are there any decent climbs in Luxembourg, or is it all fairly sort of rolling and hilly?
I would describe it as hilly,
yeah.
But if you go really to the north there, you can find some 3 to 5 kilometer proper climbs.
Yeah, towards the Belgian border, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, especially some steeper climbs. So it's a bit Ardennes style.
Yeah, of course.
That's probably why, yeah, Luxembourgish riders always a bit related to the Ardennes classics as well.
And you've won the greatest of them all, right, in Liège?
My favorite one, yes, for
yeah.
sure.
When did you decide you wanted to be a cyclist?
I actually started when I was 6 years old, so really young actually. And just through a friend who was here in the local team, and he just said one day, okay, let's go for that training there at in Diepbach. There's that small team, and they go for a ride every Thursday, and so that's what we did. And but basically,
Bob, just gonna sort this out. It's a little bit loose. I think that's okay.
Is your brake rubbing also?
No. Oh, when you hear that noise?
Oh,
it's the blocks
okay.
they use.
All right.
Yes.
Left here.
So sorry, yeah. So I was saying, sort of, what age did you decide you wanted to be a professional?
I think it really started when I became world champion as a junior.
Yeah.
And in time trial. So that's probably when the dream came a little closer to become professional, and then 2 years later, or 3 years later, I got there with Leopard Continental, and then afterwards with Trek, obviously.
Winning the Junior Worlds, is that when you thought, I actually can make this my career? Is that the moment you decided it was a possibility?
Yeah, I think it's still a very big gap between juniors and under 23s, and they get a lot closer to what we are right now. But
yeah.
Junior, I mean, you're still in, your body is still developing, and of course I was impatient and I wanted absolutely to get to a professional team. And I was lucky enough to have a good environment, yeah, which taught me that patience also, and very grateful for that. And I think it was just right afterwards when I became under 23 that I got in contact with that Luxembourgish professional team at that moment.
Uh-huh.
And so things sort of just happened. So I've done 1 year in under 23 just in the local team here, racing a lot with the national team, obviously. And then second year under 23 I was in that Continental team after the merge of Leopard and Radioshack.
Yeah
every step has been very carefully chosen, and like I say, right now I'm very, very grateful for that.
What was it like racing with some of those big names at the time? I mean, you mentioned Radio Shack, and we all know who was riding for Radio Shack then.
Your first training camp, you're there with Cancellara, the Schlecks, Kluden, Hondo was there.
Danilo Hondo.
Zubel, yeah.
I love Danilo Hondo.
Oh, yeah.
He was a great rider.
Yes.
For people who don't know, because he grew up in East Germany, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
And he was a really strong six-day rider as well.
Yeah.
And were your family always really supportive of you going into cycling, or did they think you might become something else?
No, I've always been very lucky, actually, to have an environment that supported me in every decision or wish I had.
Yeah.
So, I had a very fortunate situation to be able to attend sports college here. Because the country is so small, we don't have that many sportsmen, so they can really focus on on you individually, and from my family to school to everything, the federation, it's always been, like I say, a very healthy environment, I would say.
Yeah. And were you always really strong on a bike? Has that always been your thing? Because those of us who've seen you, I saw you at the Tour of Britain, which obviously I work on as well.
Yeah.
Towing around Julian Alaphilippe. You just seem to love hammering it at the front and trying to drop everyone else. Have you always been like that?
It's always been like that, yes. I always won my races since I'm small from pretty big distance. Very rarely in a sprint though. My main strength is maybe to be able to be in that very red zone for quite some time, and it feels good though.
You enjoy the suffering.
It feels good when they suffer in your wheel.
What about when you're suffering? Do you embrace it? Do you like the reminder, or?
Well, I guess you have to a little bit.
Yeah.
Otherwise you wouldn't be professional. It's daily business, the suffering. So luckily not on the ride like today, but like I say, I've been in altitude now for 3 weeks, and I've had plenty of suffering every day there. So from training to racing, it's always, I think it's just part of the game.
What does it feel like when you're at altitude and then also when you come back down somewhere low like this? Do you feel the benefit?
Not straight away. I think the biggest effect is, of course, just the mountain training, which I don't have at home, even though when in Swiss I have a lot of mountains. But then again, you have the lack of recovery in altitude, and all sorts of things that actually make life harder.
Yeah.
And a lot easier down here. So,
cool. Teach me for looking at my camera. Do you enjoy the climbing? I mean, I spoke to Nicholas Roach for Home Roads.
Yeah.
Last year, and he was saying he's a climber trapped in a rouleur's body. He always feels like he should be just 2 or 3 kilos lighter, because he loves climbing, but he's not built for it.
Same thing goes for me. I'm not especially the climbing type. Of course, you have those very little skinny climbers, and taking the example of the Colombian riders, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy climbing, and it's especially the way how GC riding also developed during the last years. It's quite interesting for a guy like me. If you've got strong time trial and you're able to reduce the amount of time that you lose on the climbs,
yeah,
you can do a very good GC. So I would also love to have 2 or 3 kilos less when it comes to the Mortirolo and Stelvio stages, and that's a certain thing.
But do you think these days there are just more guys who are all-rounders? I'm thinking of you, because you can time trial, you can get high on GC, you can win a race like Liège, but then also Julian Alaphilippe, who's your great friend, you know, he can out-sprint sprinters, and he can get the polka dot jersey at the Tour de France. There's just more guys like that who can do more things. Does it feel like that way to you?
Yeah, races get more and more unpredictable, especially the one-day races. I think the race like Liège or the Flanders Classics, you never know how they end.
No.
So I guess during the years, the riders, they just adapt yourself also a bit to the situation. So taking a rider like Julian, if he's in a position to do a very good GC, he can do also a very good time trial.
Yes.
Peter Sagan can do a very good time trial if he's in the position to win a GC, even though he's not a time trialist. So I guess it's also very much a mental thing, how you approach a race and how you, how much you really want to have that victory.
And I guess the other thing is those riders coming from other disciplines like cyclocross, Wout van Aert, who are just so ridiculously strong. They have incredibly high VO2 max and they can just suffer for a huge amount of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have two very good examples with Wout van Aert and Mathieu van der Poel.
Yes.
Coming from cyclocross. In cyclocross, they are very special riders, not only coming to the road now. So the true abilities that they have because of cyclocross, they can suffer a lot and survive very hard races, even though you would say maybe those races are not made for them because they are too heavy or the races are too long. And then on the other hand, I think it's just two very talented and disciplined guys also.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Have you ever tried cyclocross?
I did.
Yeah.
I was riding until, I think it was second year junior actually. I was still doing, a proper cyclocross season. I think my best place ever at the Worlds was 12th or something. So
come on, that's pretty good.
It wasn't bad, but I think I was more made for the road.
You don't like the running?
Wasn't the warning, but most of them, they were really small guys, very technical, and so yeah, like Julian, he was, when I was 12, he was second. It helps you a lot afterwards also.
Yeah.
From riding in a bunch and all kinds of technical descending, and the skills that you get from cyclocross is actually almost mandatory for a pro cyclist.
Yeah. So tell me about Julian, because this has to be the biggest bromance in pro cycling. But you've known each other for a long time.
Since I'm in the team, So for 4 years.
Okay, so not that long.
No. We raced against each other, but never really spoken to each other until I came to Quickstep.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just straight away a very good feeling with him. And two characters very much that are pretty much alike.
How?
Sense of humor, a sense of, like I said before, being social and maybe also a way of enjoying life sometimes.
Not taking it too seriously.
Exactly, just to make it very easy living the dream.
And what are the nicknames for the two of you? Isn't there like a nickname that you both have?
Yeah, he has actually, there's plenty of those French words like Lulu and
yes,
and yeah, he calls me Bobby, and so yeah, it's funny a bit, and just really became a good friendship, which is quite rare though in sports.
But anybody who works in a team must recognize the huge benefit in actually liking the person you're working with. Even more that being really good friends with them. There's a huge benefit in that.
Absolutely. I think it's like in life, everything is easier if you, first of all, like what you do. And if you can do it with somebody that you like, it's even easier. And even obviously the more comfortable you are, the greater the success usually is. So,
yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What's it like though when you're both going for races that you both could win? Are you happy if he wins it and you don't? Or can you put the friendship to one side for a bit and actually compete with each other?
Well, you might have wondered that we didn't race much together this year.
No, that's true.
No, of course, it's not easy for a team also to decide. Taking Tour of Britain last year.
Yes.
We were both in an incredible form. Okay, and then there was some point where we just said we go for Julian because there was that steep climb.
A Winlatter pass, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there was no individual time trial, there was a team time trial.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I say, it's not easy for a team to decide sometimes if you have two riders who can win. But then again, this is a pretty known situation for Quickstep.
Yeah, of course.
But for us, it was never really a great deal. I mean, last year we had the most fantastic week in Flash Ballon and Liège of our career so far. So, like I said, there was never any rivalry or during a race.
Yeah.
It's a very honest friendship. And
There must be a special feeling in the team this year as well. Look, so far for De Koning Quickstep, it's been an amazing season. Even Philippe Gilbert winning Paris-Roubaix, I mean, who saw that coming?
Not many people, I guess, after a little bit of illness and difficulties in the beginning of the season for him. But in general, of course, it's unbelievable how every year again we meet in October, do a little recap of the year. Yeah, so Patrick always makes that speech. Guys, I'm really proud of the, I don't know, 60-65 victories we had this year. I know it's going to be difficult to beat it next year, but and somehow we always manage to at least get very close to that number of the year before, even though riders change. And like I said before, a healthy environment makes you perform better. It's that kind of friendship I was just describing with Julian, that is, of course, not the same with every rider, but there is a great deal of friendship within the team, within the staff, and I think that just helps.
Yeah.
We just passed my parents' house.
Oh, did we? Okay. Do you ever call in? You must call in when you're on a training ride.
I regularly stop for coffee or something. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we should have said hello. I feel bad now.
No, that's fine.
Well, tell us about this area. So this is that where the house you grew up in as well?
Exactly.
That we've just gone past.
Yeah. So this is Mersch. This is basically the center of Luxembourg. Looking at it geographically.
Yeah.
So yeah, I grew up here.
What do people do around here? Is there sort of farming or?
Not that much farming.
No.
It's, farming is more even further up north.
Okay.
I guess there's quite a lot of industry, and then also obviously it's Luxembourg, so fair bit of banking,
of course, and, lots of money.
Yes,
it's expensive to live here though, right?
It is, yeah, but it doesn't change much if I'm traveling around a bit.
What memories do you have of riding around here as a kid?
So this is basically the road that I would go out almost every day. Because the other side you go towards Luxembourg City, so that was never the best option for training, right? And this part going up north a bit more was always my favorite, and my parents both come in from the very north of Luxembourg also.
Okay.
So I knew the area very well and just enjoyed it. It's, like I said, it's almost perfect training roads, not much traffic, and very good surface.
And would you go out with friends a lot? And do you still have friends around here?
Yeah, for sure. So there's still plenty of childhood friends left, and I'd say my private life is very, very important to me, and I like to get back to basics, back to my roots a bit, and it's just enjoyable, and it's good for your head to come down and see a different world than this very, not artificial, but this very special world though of that cycling world.
And oh yeah, it's a bubble.
Sports bubble, like, yeah. in general though.
Yeah, I can imagine it's easy to get carried away with it. And
yeah, of course.
Not see family and girlfriends and absolutely. For a long time.
Absolutely, and being a European rider is already a great, I don't want to say advantage, but it's, I mean, if you're Australian,
yeah,
American, or it would be very hard for me because it's not easy. When I left here 5 years ago to Switzerland, it wasn't easy for my parents, that wasn't easy for me.
Did you get homesick?
So, yeah, of course. And even though you're used to it from younger years,
yeah,
traveling a lot with national team, and but still, I think it's a very, maybe it's particular, maybe it's something individual also, but I feel like Luxembourgish people are still very Luxembourgish, and they do not leave the country very often.
They don't move abroad. And do you think then that when in the far distant future, when you've retired from pro racing, you'll come back and live here?
I probably will, yeah.
Yeah.
I probably will.
You'll come home. Because I talk about it to a lot of guests. So Simon Gerrans has been a guest on this season recently. He left Australia to race in France and Italy when he was 17.
Yeah.
And he said, some of the French riders he was up against saying, I'd never do that for this sport. I'd never go that far away from home. He's lived in Monaco, he's lived in Andorra, now he's in London with his family.
Yes.
Which is a very long way from where he grew up.
Well, there's always that question of choice. How much choice do you have?
Yeah.
Cycling is central in Europe. At least 10 years ago, it was for sure. Yeah, we started to race a bit more. On other continents also. And
Do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy going to the States or China or the Middle East?
Of course, it's a way of discovering the world as well. Yeah, it's like a hole-in-one package. Traveling to enjoying your passion, being with friends, doing your job, hopefully successful. And yeah, I would definitely describe it as, first of all, it's a school for life, and also just a lifetime experience being a professional cyclist.
Are there any bits that you don't enjoy that you would change?
Not change right now. Of course, you have some days where you would rather stay in bed and yeah, don't go training when the weather's shit or when you just have a bad day or whatever.
Yeah.
And of course, when I was younger, there were sometimes I had to go training when others, they could just sleep out their hangover, you know, and I had a headache on my bike. But I can't say that I really missed anything in my childhood or, yeah, like I said, I always had a lot of friends and I never really had a feeling that I completely missed something. Or even now, I'm very, very happy with and grateful for all the things I can do. And
it doesn't feel like a huge sacrifice then?
No, it doesn't.
No. Especially when you're a bit of a petrol head and you've got a Porsche and an AMG Mercedes. And
yeah, of course, this is another... there's always a man and his hobbies.
Yeah, absolutely, and his toys.
And his toys, exactly, so... I'm a bit of a petrol head, that's true. And...
That's quite common in the World Tour Peloton, though, isn't it?
It is, apparently, yeah. So, of course, the subject of training rides and discussions in the peloton. And
oh, really?
So, yeah. For myself, I can honestly say it's... I appreciate the way they build these things.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way tires or... weight distribution and all that stuff would change behavior of a car, for example. And
well, that's similar to the scientific way of thinking about bike racing, isn't it? The
exactly.
weight and the tires and all that
exactly.
technical stuff.
Exactly.
It reminds me of Chris Hoy, you know, the famous
British
track cyclist who's, I think he's driven Le Mans.
Right.
That was his ambition.
Right.
The thing is, I think when you've got that mental drive to do something like
and then the speed,
cycling.
Adrenaline and all those things, I think they just it sticks with you in your head. And
so where are we heading now? We've sort of gone north from your parents, have we?
Yeah, so this is actually completely direction north.
Okay, next stop Belgium.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Thanks so much for showing me your home roads in Luxembourg. I know you're not here very often, so it's really special to have the Luxembourgish national champion show me around. Thanks a lot.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.